Amen. We bring you greetings from the Fort Myers Rescue Mission. My wife said to me this morning, she said, "This is Mother's Day. Mission service on Mother's Day." Well, there can be some great connections, right? Amen. In fact, I want to tell you a story about a mother in a little bit. But I was thinking about, you know, the comments that was made, some in testifying, whatever, about the heritage. I wish I'd have had the privilege that some of our young people, and I was telling Brother Ziegler this morning, there's no doubt been a lot of changes around here since we was here at revival meeting back in the old church. But I wonder if some of the young people that was here then, where they're at now. And I trust they'll never get away from home teaching. See, I never had that. I didn't know Jesus saved. I didn't know that we went to church once a week, Sunday morning. That was it. And I thought, well, whenever I get 18, I'm going to leave home. I'm going to leave. I'm not going back to church. God had different plans, and I'm so grateful he did. And I've never regretted that. But mothers have a vital part in the lives of individuals, vital part in the way that our country goes, and things of that nature. And behind, you know, they've often said, behind every good man is a good woman. And there's more truth to that than what really meets the eyes. I mean, my wife has been a very, I don't know just a term to use, but I appreciate her prayers and the way she stood behind us. And she's a vital part of the mission down there. And she picked up one of them coughing bugs, you know. But she's going to come and try to speak a little bit to you about what she does at the mission at this time.
Well, I work in the office, try to keep everything in order. We are a holiness rescue mission for homeless men. We have 65 beds, and they're full just about all the time, and some waiting list. So there's lots of homeless men out there. And we try to teach them holiness. We preach to them holiness. We have seen some that's gotten sanctified. Like, for instance, Jerome, he wanted to work in the office. He donates his time. And so he has helped me so much because he was out on the street, and when he come in, he got saved. He come to us as an eternal security man, and he didn't know what holiness was. So my husband said, "Do you like to read?" And he said, "Yes." So he got him about 10 holiness books and says, "Now I want you to read these, will you?" And he said, "Oh, yeah," because he liked to read. So he come into the office one day, and he was downcast, and he says, he calls his mom and dad. He says, "Dad, I don't have in my heart what that book is talking about." And so my husband says, "Well, you need to go read and pray some more." So I don't know how long it was, but he come back in. He was just shining. He says, "I got it, I got it, I got it." And his life has really proved it, that he's gotten sanctified. And the men even has confidence in him. And so he has helped us so much there. Our men got a big favor for them the other day. I don't know if you know Little Caesar's Pizza. They have a big semi that they bring to your place, and they'll bake the pizzas. And so they wanted to bring their truck to our homeless men. So that's what they did on it. And so they made 50 pizzas. So that gave us, our guys had lots of pizza. Then they had some on the lunch time next time too. We have 3 meals a day. We have 3 different cooks. A lot of people says, "Do you cook for all them men?" And I says, "No way." I don't like to cook that well. But we do have men that comes in. Some of them has been chefs out there of their jobs. And some of them really do know how to cook. So we've had some real, real good meals. And that really does help us out a lot. We have about 10,000 meals a month. So we have lots of food to go through. But we have a food bank that helps us, which we thank the Lord for that, because we couldn't do all that. Also, we're feeding street people that just comes off of the street. You have between 100 and 75 that just comes in, and then they leave after they eat. So we are so thankful for what the men are doing for us. And we are closing revival there today. So if you just breathe a prayer that somehow maybe some will really get help in this revival. And I'm so thankful that the Lord led us there, and I'm thankful for what I can do. And I try to be a motherly figure for these men, because I try to encourage them, and I love them and love the Lord with all my heart.
Yes, many of the men there, if they have a mother, they don't know where they're at. And so we have become pop and mom to them. And we had one fellow, a year younger than I am, but he still called me Pop. We have a great time there, and we enjoy it. Maybe I ought to give you a little background, because when we came here and held revivals in the old church, we'd been in the evangelistic field and preached to some of you in different parts of the country. And that was what the Lord had called me to. Now, I know that some people, and I probably was of the same opinion, once a call, always a call, you know, okay, so he called me to the evangelistic field. But the Lord does have a right change of mind, right? Amen. And so when we were traveling the evangelistic field, Brother Schaefer invited us down to the mission for a revival. And we were down there. God was helping, and we got back into for another revival. Anyhow, he said, Brother Light, would you serve on the mission board? And so the board of directors, and I said, well, yeah, I don't see why not. You know, they only meet one time a year, and that was in February, and that was ideal time for me, you know, get out of the cold down there where it was a little warmer. And so that's exactly how it was working out and everything. We'd been on the board 15 plus years, and in 09, well, 08, December of 08, Sister Walker, and Brother Walker, the founder of the Fort Myers Rescue Mission back in 74, but his wife passed away. Brother Walker was the secretary and the treasurer. He lost interest in going to the office. Brother Schaefer's health kept deteriorating. He lived 12, 15 years over what the doctors had given him. But in the board meeting in February of 09 then, because Brother Walker not coming to the office, Brother Schaefer's health deteriorating, they were desperate. Now, you know, the prayer request, I don't know, did you hear the prayer request? Did you mark them down? Will you pray for them other than this morning? Don't answer that. But most of us, well, we'll mention them while it comes to our mind, but once we're outside the door with all the other activities, they're out of mind. Well, I guess you'd say that's the way it was going with me with the Fort Myers Rescue Mission. Every year, pray for us that the Lord will give us some help. You know, we need help. And Okay, but soon I would forget it, you know. But in February 09, these men were desperate. You've got to help us to find help. We've got to have help. They were desperate. And I guess the desperation got a hold of. And that spring, about May, I think it was, I'm praying, we're in revival, you know, I'm praying, oh, God, you've got somebody out here that can help us at the Fort Myers Rescue Mission. And I'm just in, I learned a long time ago, when I get quiet before God, that's when he speaks. And when I got quiet, he said, what's wrong with you? I said, well, you know, I wasn't expecting that. And I said, well, Lord, you called me to the evangelistic field. And I'm just rattling off my reasoning, you know. When I got quiet, he said, what's wrong with you? Well, Lord, I'm retired. You know, I don't think God's got that in his dictionary. He wasn't a bit sympathetic. You know what he did? He reminded me of Colonel Sanders. Colonel Sanders was retired when he started Kentucky Fried Chicken. I threw up my hands. I said, all right, Lord, you win. okay? When I said that, it's amazing how that the feeling toward evangelism began to change. I called Brother Schaefer up on the phone. I don't know how many of you folk knew Brother Schaefer, but I called him up on the phone. I said, Brother Schaefer, the Lord sending us Fort Myers Rescue Mission. He said, great. How soon are you going to get here? I said, oh, just a minute. I said, I've got some revivals, some camp meetings. He said, well, don't cancel any, but how soon are you going to get here? And I said, well, I've been looking at my schedule, and I feel like we could arrive at the Fort Myers Rescue Mission July the 17th. Now, this is July the 17th, 2009, and we landed on the grounds at the Fort Myers Rescue Mission July the 17th, 2009. I went up the stairs in the office, and of course, you know, when Brother Schaefer was out here doing deputational work and people would meet him then, he's one thing. In the office, he's not out there greeting people all the time. And so I go up in the office. I said, hello, Brother Schaefer. He whirls around and said, oh, Brother Light. And we do a little small talking, and he's business. His desk was over here. You come in the office this way, his desk over here. He said, Brother Light, your desk is back there. And he pointed to the desk across the room to where Brother Walker had always been. So, okay, I go over there, you know. And I thought, well, the first thing I'm going to do is find out if this office chair fits. So I sat down in it, you know, and see if it fit. Well, it seemed to fit okay, you know. And so then I looked on the desk in front of me. And remember, his wife passed away in December. This is July. There's a stack. I mean a stack of unpaid bills. Now, I don't know very many electric companies that will allow you to just continue to go on without paying your electric bill. But for some reason, they had. But they were adding interest, too. And I looked at that, and I said, Brother Schaefer, I mean, I was overwhelmed. I said, what do I do? He said, well, Brother Light, if I was you, I'd just start with the oldest ones and pay them. Oh, that sounds so simple, but that's what I did. I got them all in order, and I started with the oldest ones and started paying them, you know. But I don't know whether your checkbook talks or not. All of a sudden, this checkbook talked to me. Whoa, you don't have no more funds. You don't pay no more bills. I said, Brother Schaefer, we're out of money. Now what do we do? He never changed what he was doing. He never looked at me. He just said, pray. Wow, that sounded so easy. Pray. Huh? I'm going to tell you, I prayed. The next bill on my desk was a bill for over $9,000. And I thought, well, I'm desperate, Lord. I need $9,000, and I need it now. Not tomorrow. I need it now. Well, I'm talking to the Lord. I've got to have help, Lord. He said, look in the filing cabinet. Now, I don't know how you would have done, what your response would have been, you know, but maybe there's $9,000 hid in the filing cabinet. Or maybe it'll just jump out at me. And so I reached over and opened up the filing cabinet, but nothing happened. I said, all right, Lord, now what? He said, pull out your insurance file. So I pull out the insurance file. So what am I looking for? And I looked down through it, and all of a sudden I stopped. I said, Brother Schaefer, I said, this insurance tells us that we've got a such and such a car. Where is that at? He said, describe it. So I went through. Oh, Brother Light, that's not part of the mission anymore. Is it still on there? Another one. There was three or four vehicles. Now, please don't, because I've run into enough people that have become a bill got buried or maybe something, you know, stuff like that. So I don't want you to be critical toward Brother Walker, please. We overlook some things sometimes, don't we? And it had been overlooked of removing these from the insurance policy. And they were paying insurance on three or four vehicles that wasn't a part of the mission anymore. I got on the phone. And there was a lady on the other end, and she said, can I help you? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, I want you to dig out our insurance policy. We got to go over it. So she went and got the insurance policy, and we're going over it, and she said, She said, well, you got a refund coming, Reverend. I said, great. And in my heart, I said, how soon do I get it? She said, I tell you what we'll do. We'll apply that toward next year's premium. Well, that wasn't what I wanted. But you don't argue with these big companies, do you? I said, okay. But evidently, they had a change of mind, change of heart, because a matter of, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks, a letter came from them. And when I got it, and they put it on my desk, I insurance isn't due yet. What is this? But I ripped it open, and when I did, there was a check for over $10,000. Woo! I tell you what, I paid my bill, the MISA bill, I tell you what, and since then, I've watched God time and time and time again beginning to just pay. God's so good. I know people say, well, it don't happen to me that way. Well, I say to people, hey, do you get overtime? If you get some overtime, God's helping meet the need, right? And all the people said, ouch. God knows how to supply your needs. He does to different people different ways. And God knows how to take care and supply the needs. Now, Brother Schaefer died in August of 2011. And I was in the hospital when he passed away. I was in for 33 days. They had his memorial and everything. I didn't get to be there. I was in the hospital. But everything was dumped in my lap. My wife told you about Jerome. His picture's back there. He's a black man. Jerome, my wife, and I, for a year and a half, carried the load of the mission. It was just too much. And I told the board, I said, we got to have somebody else that can carry this load. So Marjo Wooten, who is a pilgrim pastor over at Lexington, Kentucky, for 24 years, is now the director of the Fort Myers Rescue Mission. But I'm going to tell you what, I don't think the load has lifted or eased up any. What an awesome responsibility we have. My wife told you we have beds for 65 men. Brother Schaefer said to me one time, said, Brother Light, how does it feel being a father to 65 men, boys? I looked at him and I said, well, I guess I'll make it, son. I'm telling you, awesome. I mean, you'd see children fighting and squabbling. Get it among 50-year-old men. And they're acting just like kids. That's mine. And we have to stand, try to step in between that and straighten things out. But when Brother Schaefer passed away, we wondered. He had traveled for so much for the mission. We wondered how our finances would do, would they hold up? Would we have to close the mission? Some people said the mission's going to fold up, it's not going to make it. Can I tell you, the mission is well, and God is providing. When you stop to think about, my wife told you about the 10,000 plus meals a month. When you stop to think about all the food and the food bank, somebody from their company came in and said, can we help? Do you think I told him no? I said, yes. If you'll look at the picture on the upper right-hand corner, as you go out and look at the display board, you'll see a truck. Below that, you'll see a pallet coming off of that truck. Below that, you'll see food distributed on the tables in the dining room. Six pallets as high as 6 pallets of food. And I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking as high as I could stack it and still get it in the door of the truck, have come to our place. They come on Mondays and Thursdays. Now on Thursday, this past Thursday, they would order from the food bank some things. We pick them up the following Thursday. We pay 19 cents a pound for that food. But what comes on that truck comes free of charge. We don't pay for it. When you stop to think about meat coming off of there, there's the New York strip steak, there's pig ribs, and you go on and on and on and on. I tell our fellas, I said, we eat good. We eat better than some people do in their own home. Now, we don't get enough meat every time that it comes to feed them meat, so we stack it back and put it in the freezer until we get enough. Everybody can have ribs or everybody can whatever, you know. And I want you to know God is so good. We have tried to get the fellows. We thought that if we could teach them to pray, like my wife said, the majority, I would say 95% of them are eternal security. You know, they've been baptized, whatever, you know, and so it don't make any difference what they do. Well, we're a little different than that. We feel like if you sin, you sin. But no, I'm okay. I'm going to heaven. And I thought, well, how do I counteract this thing? So I got to thinking, if we can get them to pray, then over little things, things involving their life and stuff like that, and finally can get them to an altar of prayer and get them to pray there, it'll make them easier for them to pray. And so we had one day the dining hall manager come to me and he said, Pop, he said, we're out of eggs. Now, our men like eggs. I don't know, maybe you don't like eggs around here, but our men like eggs. And he said, right, eggs. His name's Stephen. I said, Stephen, get some of the fellas praying. And so I don't know who all he got to praying or anything like that. But day or two later, the phone rings in the office. And I'm summoned to the phone. So I go to the phone. I said, hello. And some lady, now I didn't know who she was. She told me who she was, but I didn't know her. I'd never met her. And she said, could you use some eggs? Now, maybe somebody here can tell me how many some is. I'm going to tell you, I didn't know how many she was talking about. I didn't really know how to respond, so I used her terminology. Yeah, we could use some eggs. So either the next day or 2 days, I'm not just sure which, but there's a car, not a van, not a pickup, but a car that pulls up to the dining hall. She was directed to the dining hall by the security. She pulls up there. I'm in the dining hall doing something. I don't remember what. But I come out to greet her, you know. She gets out. She tells me who she is. Oh, she's the one I talked to on the phone. Huh? Okay, so she's the egg lady. Okay. So, you know, we've had a lot of people come and maybe bring a donation, maybe a can or two, you know. So I'm wondering, what are we going to get, huh? She goes around and opens up her back door. And you've seen these here, 12 eggs to a carton, huh? Her floorboard was full of cartons of eggs. It was up on the seat, clear up to the back of the back seat and the front seat, all egg cartons. Our fellas came out there. I said, fellas, be careful with these things. They're precious, you know. And so they're very cautiously carrying them in, and they're putting them on the table in the dining hall and coming back. And she goes around and opens up her trunk. And long and behold, when we got done counting the eggs, there was 150 dozen of eggs. Woo, we ate eggs. Mm-hmm. And just not very long ago, they called us up, not the same woman, another place, and wanted to know if we could use some eggs. And that time we got 400 dozen. Now, we can't use all of that kind of stuff. We're not, we don't, I tell them, not, you know, we're not going to hoard the stuff. We're going to share it. We have a food bank out in Lehigh Acres, about 25, 30 miles from us. And they feed between 8 and 10,000 meals a month. And we call them up when there's things that we give an overabundance. When the truck comes on Mondays and Thursdays, our cooks go through, take what they can use. That food bank comes in and picks up the rest of it, most of it anyhow. And so we're not interested. When God supplies, we don't want to waste. And so God has been marvelously supplying, and we just so appreciate it. Another prayer, Dan, our maintenance man, he called me up. It was Saturday night, July the 13th. And I said, "Hello, Dan, what's on your mind?" He calls me Rev. He said, "Rev, we got a leak." I said, "Where, Dad?" He said, "Come downstairs and I'll show you." So I met him downstairs, and long and behold, the water line that's feeding the water into the two-story building, which takes care of our 60 men. We have 40 men in one dorm and 20 men in another dorm. It takes care of our apartment. It's a 2-inch water line. I said, "Oh," and they're digging it up already. And I said, "Dan," I said, "that's a 2-inch water line, if I remember correctly." Well, they got down there, and sure enough, I said, "Listen, Dan, here it is, about 7:30 at night, Saturday night." I said, "I'll rush over to Lowe's and get what I think we need, and you get the thing all ready so we can tear it apart and slap it back together." So I went to Lowe's, picked up what I thought we could needed, and came back. Men had it apart. They put it back together, and we waited for it to dry, you know. Finally, Dan says, it's probably about 10:30 now. He said, "Well, I'll go turn the water on." I said, "Okay." I'm standing there with a flashlight watching. Pretty soon, Dan's standing beside me, and he said, "Rev, did you see that?" I said, "Yes, I did." Drip, drip, drip. I said, "Well, Dan, we're not going to do anything about it tonight. This is Saturday night. You're tired. Let's go to bed. We'll trust the Lord till Monday." And he said, "And we'll pray." Now, remember, this is a man that's eternal security. "And we'll pray." He was smoking at that time, and you name it. Anyhow, Monday morning after the 8 a.m. devotions that we have with the men Monday through Friday, and those that are not working yet, and those that don't have appointments, and they have to be in devotion. So we have devotions with them. And he came up to me after devotions, and he said, "Hey, Rev." I said, "What, Dan?" He said, "Did you look?" I said, "No, we went over it, looked." He said, "It's not leaking. It's not leaking. God answered my prayers." I didn't try to dishearten him, because I've watched God work in Dan's life. We tried to teach him to pray back then. He'd been praying. He's quit his smoking. God's helping him. He told me just before we left, he asked me some questions about the Bible. And we're doing our best to try to help them to become spiritual giants, if you want to use that term, or spiritual beings for the Lord. And God marvelously helping Dan. We so appreciate it. Back, if you have ever heard Brother Schaefer give a mission service, he no doubt told you that the cost of the mission, water, sewer, electric, our utilities, plus just the basic operating expenses, was running us around $25,000 a month. Well, when I took over the treasurer's job, the mission was, I told you, We had praying over $9,000. Can I use the expression? We were living hand to mouth, hand to mouth. That's exactly the way it was. We had no surplus, nothing to fall back on. And there's got to be a way we can cut back on some of this. So we begin to investigate ways that we could start cutting back on our utilities, our water consumption, different things. You don't want to tell the fellas you can't take a shower because you won't be able to stand it in there. Not in when you have 40 men and they've been out trying to work and they're sweaty, you know, and stuff like that. No, we want them to take showers. And so I thought, well, what can we do? And so we begin to investigate different things. And it's probably been 3 years ago now, but I checked out to see what we had accomplished. And we were able to cut it back from $25,000 a month to $16,800 a month. Now, that may not mean nothing to you, but it does to our rescue mission. I mean, when we can cut back like that, that's saving God's money. We can use it to try to do something else to reach lost and dying souls. And so we're so grateful for what God has been doing in helping us along that line. We're grateful for the men that have come to us and have made some real changes in their life. Jerome is one of my wife was telling you about. I mean, he's a very studious individual. Jerome, and he'll tell you, at least I'll put it this way, he told the wife and I. His wife had never remarried. Jerome has never remarried. His wife lives in California. But he said, Brother Light, I so mistreated her. I treated her terrible. I'm ashamed to even talk to her. He talks to his daughter and says, how's your mother doing? And he keeps up that way. His heart's broken, but we're not. I told Jerome, I said, but God can put things back together if that's his plan and his will. And so we're just praying that God will have divine right of it. We had another fellow that came through the gate back several years ago. He was a biker. Come in on a Harley Davidson. No shirt. Buzzed hair. Except back here, and he had a ponytail braided long enough he could sit on. Everybody's wrong but me. I'm the only one that's right. You talk about belligerent, a chip on his shoulder, he had it. What did you do? We just preached, loved, and prayed. And pretty soon Bubba prayed through, got right with God. God began to change things. The braided hair come off, and on and on and on we could go. He became not only saved, but sanctified, became one of our preachers, worked in the office. God's been good to us. Bubba died here a few years ago. I was on our way to IHC, and we stopped in and had prayer with him. And that was Wednesday or Thursday. I forget which it was now. But we stopped in and had prayer with him. The next morning, he went to heaven. I tell you, there's trophies in heaven because of the Fort Myers Rescue Mission, and we're grateful for what God is doing. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Let me tell you about one of the mothers. It was raining. Oh, it was raining terrible. Somebody dropped this woman and her three children. The three children should have been in school. They've been out sleeping under a palm tree. Now, it's hard for people up here to comprehend this. But out down there, you know, if you can't pay your rent, you go out and sleep under a palm tree. If husbands and wives fight, he'll go one way, she'll go another way. This woman had three children been sleeping out under the trees. Because of it raining, she found her way. Somebody bringing her to the Fort Myers Rescue Mission. She wanted help. Well, back when Brother Schaefer was living, we have the two-story building, and in part of it, we have 10 units that are considered family units. And so we've tried the family unit, you know, mother, her children, maybe. Now, if it's a man, he goes in the dorm. But so we were trying. Well, lo and behold, now they're not supposed to any, no one-on-one conversations, none, between the men and the women. Well, if they want to break the rules, they're used to breaking them out there. So, all right, if you do it again, you're out the gate. So what did they do? They met outside the gate and let us babysit with their children. I said, And after three attempts, we closed the doors to the family units. We use them for other reasons now, but they're no longer the family units. So when this woman came, we had no place to put her. What are you going to do? And so I told her, I said, now I'm going to call the police. Look, this normally, because of somebody like that, they get all up in the air, you know. No, I'm not calling the cops because of something you've done. But maybe they've got a place that they can take you. And so I called the police, the non-emergency number. They sent a cruiser out, two cops in that cruiser. They talked to the woman. They took information. But I had an appointment, so I left. When I came back, lo and behold, her and her children are still there, but no cops. I said to my wife, I said, what happened? Well, they just left. So we had fed them the noon meal, and I don't know, I'm in the country. I know they're trying to educate me down there. It's lunch. No, it's still dinner to me. It was on the farm, and it still is. And it's not dinner at the evening meal. It's supper. I got scripture to prove it. They argued with me so much, I came up with some scripture to prove it. Anyhow, we gave her the dinner meal and the supper meal. I called the cops. I told the dispatcher, I said, listen, there's nothing we can do with this lady. We cannot house her. You've got to do something. And so they came back out. This time they came in two cruisers. And I've tried to figure out why they would send two cruisers, because it wasn't a violent situation. Well, I had another appointment. When I came back, the cruisers are gone and she's gone. So I don't know what they did, speculation. Because of the fact most places that are in our area, Salvation will take a woman and her children for 3 nights, and that's it. They're back out there. They run full all the time. So my speculation is they took the children in one cruiser to a place for children, took her to another place, and split up a home. Now, that's not our goal. That's not our motive. We want to keep families together. We want to do our best to try to get families reunited. That's our goal. I don't think Jesus is interested in dividing all this stuff up. And so, this woman, brokenhearted, but without her children. She's a mother. Don't forget that. I look at our mothers with their children around them and everything, and thank the Lord. Thank God for our mothers. And I trust godly mothers. But it don't always work that way. Now, because of getting between 20 and 25 calls a week from women with children, no place to go. Fort Myers Rescue Mission 2 years ago decided in their board meeting in February to look into opening a women's shelter. Now, that's good, okay. Got to have money to do it, right? All right. So what do? We just pray, all right? Well, Roger Hatfield, the chairman of our board, And David Brogdon, one of the men of our church, David Brogdon was saved at the Fort Myers Rescue Mission, him and his wife, but they weren't straight people. They weren't homeless. But he's a real asset to us. And so David and Roger was driving down a street in Fort Myers called Veronica Shoemaker. As they were going around the little jog in the road, all of a sudden, unbeknownst to either one of them, they weren't talking about it, but on the right hand, as they were going down this road, they saw this flamingo pink house. And I have drove by it who knows how many times, and I said, who in the world would paint a house flamingo pink? Well, it's going to become part of the Fort Myers Rescue Mission now. We're going to change the color of it, believe me. But David and Roger both said, women's shelter. Well, David is a contractor as well as a realtor. And he began to find out who owned the building. A fellow by the name of Mr. Rager owns the building. And so they contacted him. Said, would you be interested in selling that? They met together. The building is 12 bedroom, 5 baths, a large common area that can be used for chapel, eating facilities, whatever. And so, you know, it's, well, there's a building. So Mr. Rager and Brother Brogdon and Brother Wooten met. And they were going over, you know, Brother Wooten can, well, would you consider giving it to us? Sounds like a holiness preacher, don't it? Huh? He said, I can't. He said, I've got this tied up as security for another building. He said, you know, my daughter, she was taking homeless people into her home, her apartment, and housing them. She had a sugar reaction, went into a coma, and before they could get help to her, she died. Mr. Rager was fixing this up when he found out what his daughter was doing, and they were going to try to use it for a shelter for homeless people. But he lost interest now. Brother Wooten said, well, what was your daughter's name? Lindsay. You know, we could call this the Lindsay House. And it struck Mr. Rager. Until he said, you know, if I didn't owe money on this building, I'd give it to you now. But since I can't, let me tell you what I will do. I'll give it to you on a 10-year lease, and you pay no money. Now, that's unheard of, especially in Fort Myers, Florida. That building is valued at $450,000. Of course, by it being set idle, the vandals have come in. They stole the ACs. They busted out hurricane windows. You name it. They've done a vast amount of damage. It's been estimated that it would take us $90,000 to $95,000 to get it up and running to where we can house the women in it. Cities can be a source of a sore thumb, right? Your permits and all that kind of stuff, the rules and the regulations. Oh, I'm telling you. Well, you can only put one woman in a room. That's only 12 women. You get 20 calls, 25 calls a week. Well, when it started out, we got an architect. For some reason, he dropped the ball, quit. Got a second architect. He dropped the ball and quit. The third one, a young couple, him and his wife, both are architects. We met with them. They said, well, now we need a civil engineer. Brother Brogdon says, well, what do you suggest? Veronica, the architect's wife, said, I think I know somebody. Well, she said, we probably need a lawyer to make sure that everything's legal. So now we have architect, civil engineer, and lawyer on board free of charge. Whew. I tell you, that means something to me. After all, I'm the one that pays the bills. And just recently, we've gone before the city several times already. The city says, you've got to do this. And the estimated cost was going to go from $95,000 to $450,000. There's no way, absolutely not. I want you to know, God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. The architect went before the city council, the city engineers, said, wait a minute, isn't that called South Street? Well, yeah. Then since it's called South Street, and that's part of Fort Myers, Florida, it's not the mission's responsibility to build a turnaround or a hammerhead. That's your responsibility. And he backed them down until they said, okay, we'll accept it. And so we've dropped almost $200,000 on that estimated cost. They've been a tremendous help to us. I asked Brother Brogdon just before I left, I said, where do we stand with the women's shelter right now? He said, well, I talked to Veronica, and because of the amount of money others are paying to have their architectural work done, they're doing ours free, and Fort Myers is raising their impact fee. Now, you may not know what an impact fee is up here, but down there, you have to figure the square footage of your roof, the amount of water you think that will run off of that roof, then you have to have a retention pond that will hold that water for 2 hours. Well, I would think in sand it would disappear in due time. But this is impact fee. And so why they put the impact fee on us, we got to do it. But oh no, impact fee, you've got to pay this. Well, the paying customers want theirs done before the fee goes up. So we've been put back on the back burner just a little bit, but I got an email just this week. And, last week. And they are now to the point to where they are ready for the civil engineer to present his. We've got to have a landscape engineer. He's going to present his. This is all on board free of charge. And when we get all these things together, then we'll be able to go to the city for our permits and start the work. We already have on hand just about $80,000 for the women's shelter. People have been given right along. We have a contracting supply company down there that have already obligated themselves for up to $50,000 in windows, store. We have to have hurricane windows down there. Hurricane windows and doors and timber, lumber, whatever we need, they've already designated up to $50,000 for us. I tell you, I see God's in it, and God's just moving and working, and we want to get it open just as quick as we can so we can teach some of these women and children about Jesus. Also, just recently, my time is running out so quickly, but we're maxed out where we're at. We have we have about 5 acres, but there's a creek or a waterway. You can't build on it, you know. Other people, their runoff water runs into that. No. So, but it belongs to Fort Myers Rescue Mission. But anyhow, the city said, you can't do any more building. We won't give you a permit. You're maxed out. Well, what are we going to do? We got about 5 buildings, maybe 6, that are badly infested with termites. We've got to tear them down, but we have no place to put anything that's in them. And so back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I'm not sure which it was, but we had the Hamilton sisters. Oh, we didn't have them. They came visiting. And one of them said, let's march out around that ground out there and claim this for Jesus. Okay, so boy, we march out around that ground praying and shouting and claiming it for Jesus. Remember, God's timing is perfect. That ground we could have purchased at that time for $50,000, but we didn't have the money. I mean, we did not have it. We were barely paying our bills. And so the fellow that owns the Flea Master Flea Market, very wealthy man, very wealthy, he decided he wanted, he paid $50,000 for it. He was going to develop it into a parking area, and then they were going to shuttle up the people up to their flea market. But the economy went, it fell. And so he never developed that. So board meeting, I think a year ago, this past February, it was discussed about maybe we could approach him again. Maybe, you know, he's got all kinds of money. Maybe he'd give it to us. Never know. And so he was approached. He said, yeah, I'm interested in selling it. How much? $150,000. Wow. Well, discussion. Maybe he's just trying to see how, are we really that sincere about it? What are you really going to do with it? The fellow said, I'll give you $50,000 toward it. Well, that started the ball rolling, but he didn't give us the whole $50,000. He said he had to get some things together to get it. But we accumulated $24,000. And so we're moving forward. And the time was being set to where we'd have the closing on it. And because of different reasons, we was able to keep postponing that, postponing that, postponing. But now it's getting down to the time where it's going to have to be finalized. Well, I told Brother Wooten, I said, well, let's see. So we gathered together and scraped together and was able to get together enough money from different accounts. Now, the women's shelter, we didn't touch that. And there were some others that we didn't touch. But what we were able to touch, we got scraped together $134,974.41. Wow. Man, what are you doing with that kind of money? Well, I tried to instill that we need to have some in reserve for an emergency. Say our donors all of a sudden quit giving, then we're still going to have to pay bills, right? And if we don't have the money, well, we'll pray it in. I said, you can do the praying this time. Huh? I wasn't being unkind, but I don't think we ought to be just wasting money, spending it foolishly. If you got it, spend it. No, I'm not that philosophy. Well, we paid that $134,000 and the rest of it. And 1 week later, remember, God's timing is perfect. 1 week later, a check came to the Fort Myers Rescue Mission for $255,000. Woo! I was excited. I was able to reinstate all of that we had pulled out, get them back on their feet, and we still have enough to begin planning and making some other moves to try to get things going to where God can move in a marvelous way. And it's going to take quite a bit of money to operate a women's shelter. We've already moved the fence back now, halfway through that other 5 acres that we've acquired north of us. And we've cleaned the lot up, and we're getting ready to try to see what kind of plans we can set forth to whereby we can build something, we can tear down the termite buildings and move on. After all, we're in this not to build a name for Fort Myers Rescue Mission, but to reach the lost and the dying. And whatever it takes, that's what we're interested in. That's what I'm interested in. I would like to say, and I'm going to try to step out of the way, but some of you have been real faithful in sending offerings. Thank you. We appreciate offerings, whatever size they are. May God bless you for your giving. On the table back there, first of all, there's some day planners. Help yourself. When they're gone, they're gone. I won't have to take them back to the mission with me and throw them away. On the other side, there's a book with a little thing there that says free. My wife and I run a bookstore for years, and we've gone out of it. We quit. We're too old. But we have some books left over, and I want people to read them. I want people to get some help out of them. So they're there. They're free. Yours for the taking. Then also we have the newsletter, a little bit about the women's shelter. Pick that up. We have our brochure about the mission. The newsletter. If you're getting the newsletter, wonderful. But if you're not, we have changed the format to it a little bit. We were sending it out 6 times a year on like a typewritten sheet. We've gone to this route. Comes out 4 times a year now. I have the winter and the spring here. And help yourself to them. And if you'd like to get it coming into your home free of charge, sign your name on the paper back there. Be sure to visit the stand back there. We'll be back there to try to answer any questions. I'm going to give you just a few moments if you have questions to be thinking. And we need some people to pick up monthly support. Some of our older ones are dying off. We have one lady that has sent in $25 a month faithfully for years. And now we're not getting anything. In the last letter she got, she said, pray for me that my health will hold out, that I can continue to support the Fort Myers Rescue Mission. Either she's got to the point to where she can't, or she's passed away. We haven't gotten the news. But anyhow, anybody that would like to, you can sign up on this. You can sign up, I'll pray, I'll pledge so much a month, whatever. There's some of them back there. Just briefly, anybody got a question? Oh, I covered it well. Wonderful. I try to, but we'll be back there if you have questions when you're thinking going out the door. Feel free to come back and ask us a question. Brother Ziegler.